the show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cameron. Cody?
Doing pretty good, John. It's good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Got a little guitar out this morning. I started my morning off right.
You played guitar this morning?
Brewed some coffee. Yeah, pounded some coffee and did a little writing. And then I turned on the old Fender and cranked out some sound.
Okay.
Yep. So I've already pretty much had an entire rock concert this morning. So I'm ready to go.
How long did you play?
I don't know, probably 30 minutes or so. It's just one of those things you just kind of got to do it every day. You just
is that going to be your new thing?
Get a feel. Yeah. I mean, it's a little early in the morning, but I don't know. I figure everybody's up and moving around by 10:30, don't you?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, I would think so. And I have a good understanding with my neighbors. So we got
I don't feel like that's accurate.
No, I mean, it's pretty accurate.
I mean, I guess you have an understanding of you guys are just going to do what you want and they're going to complain type of thing.
Well, no, I mean, the guy across the way, he's a good guy. We always talk to him, and I've asked him about the guitar noise before, and he said, you know, I can slightly hear it occasionally, but it's really not even, he said, it's not even a thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, because there's two big walls that separate between where he's at, so it's not really a concern to him, and plus he comes over and bums stuff all the time, and we have a good understanding with him. And then the couple above, I think they've got some sort of domestic thing going on. They're always fighting. And
so even Stevens.
Yeah.
He yells at his girlfriend / wife. You play the guitar sometimes loud.
Yeah, so I think he smacks her around, but
that's not.
They're well. They're
it makes it a little bit more.
Well, they're Italian, real. So it's just part of the culture. So it's just a thing they do.
We're making it worse.
And so we have an understanding. You know, we don't get involved in their fighting upstairs, and they don't get involved in my guitar playing. So,
yeah. Now it feels like you need to get involved whenever you say smacks around. It feels like
may be her smacking him around. She's tough.
You might still need to get involved now. It feels like I said. It feels worse. You made it.
I don't know.
Made it sound bad.
Like I said, they're Italian. Well, they're Italian. So
I don't know what that means. You keep saying that. I don't know what that means.
It's just it's part of the culture. So they go at it quite a bit.
Nah, I feel like now you're being a bad person. You need to intervene.
I don't
because you know what's going on. So now if something bad happens, it's in your hands.
I don't know anything. We just hear a lot of banging around. You know, I mean, we don't know what's going on.
You came to the radio with
just a lot of noise.
Yeah, not funny anymore.
A lot of screaming and a lot of noise.
Made it worse. Making it worse.
A lot of yelling at each other.
Yeah.
A lot of thuds on the roof.
Yep.
So
getting worse. Getting worse. You are now obligated to intervene. So hopefully you'll do the right thing.
I'm sure they'll work it out. So anyway, I feel good today. How do you feel?
I feel fine. Solid. Thursday. Feeling good. Tennessee. Dominated the internet last night, per usual.
Yeah, I saw where they picked up a recruit.
That, along with the online stream, you know, on Twitch, Tennessee had a lot of presence last night on the internet. The stream Twitch we're talking about is the Dugs football game, Tennessee.
Yeah, Coach
Good performance
Dugs.
There. Beat down UCLA. So, a lot of internet talk of Tennessee. Tennessee doing another solid night as Kameen Marley. I don't want to say commits out of nowhere because he was linked to Tennessee. Like, people had talked about him in Tennessee, but they just kept saying, hey, this isn't going to happen. for now until he comes and has an official visit. Like, he had never even been to campus, was the reports. He wanted to come to Tennessee. He was interested in Tennessee, obviously. But the coaching staffs and the people that are paid and take subscriptions to talk about this all said, like, hey, he wants to come to Tennessee. Tennessee's in good shape. But just don't expect anything to happen until he gets on campus for a visit. And, you know, you can't really do that right now during a pandemic and a time when everything's kind of shut down. But apparently the report that I saw from Austin Price last night was that Kameen Marley kind of took it upon himself and just drove to campus to check it out and FaceTimed and had a virtual tour with the coaches. Said he couldn't get in to talk with the coaches face-to-face or check out places, but Tennessee continues to dominate the internet, like I said, and dominate technology, which is really refreshing. We have a really sharp staff right now. We have really smart people over on campus.
We're doing tremendous.
We are doing tremendous.
And doing a tremendous job.
Kameen Marley was able to come and take a tour virtually, see campus in person, which I don't know if you'd be – would you be blown away by campus right now in person?
I mean, I think if you'd never been to Knoxville and you just drove to Knoxville – you would be pretty impressed based on other college towns you'd been to. Like, say he'd been to Auburn, say he'd been to wherever. I think the first time you drive to Knoxville, it's a pretty breathtaking.
Breathtaking, you would say? Knoxville or like UT's campus or a combination of both?
Both, a combination of both. I'm not talking in terms of like cities. I just mean in terms of like if you've been to other campuses and other college areas.
You think Tennessee...
Well, what do you think's going to... Like, driving to Oxford, Mississippi, Auburn, I mean, it's just flatlands.
I've never been to those, so I don't know. I will yield to your takeaways on Auburn and Oxford.
I mean, I'm just thinking about college campuses. Like...
I mean, I love Knoxville. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love Knoxville. I think of it as more than a college town. Like, I think it's a big city. Like, I like Knoxville a lot. I want to be here. I don't really want to move away. I enjoy Knoxville, so I'm not trying to hate on it. I just, breathtaking seemed a little
strong. I'm just talking in terms of college campuses.
Yeah.
Other colleges, other universities, like, and the city factors into that to me. Now, like, Georgia. Let's say you go to Georgia.
Well, he had just been offered by Georgia Tech last month, so I feel like Georgia Tech would have a better, I feel like if I went down to Georgia Tech and saw that it was, like, basically right in downtown Atlanta, I would probably like that more.
Well, you don't consider just that, probably, you know, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, if you combine facilities
and stuff.
When you combine
our mountains.
Like, yeah, Knoxville, I would rather live here than Atlanta.
It's not, well, I don't know how to explain this. Especially it's not just the city. Like, Atlanta's obviously a greater city. I'm just saying when you combine the campus with the city, maybe. You see Neyland Stadium, you got to take that into effect because that's going to trump Georgia Tech Field or whatever that is, you know. So I'm just thinking the combination of the two, right on the river. I feel like for a kid that's trying to pick out his college, it's a pretty big experience.
Yeah, no, Tennessee, I guess, was impressive enough in person to go ahead and get that commitment. And like I said, it wasn't a huge shock that it happened, but it was a huge shock that it happened when it did, just randomly at 10 p.m. on a Wednesday night.
He just couldn't hold it in any longer, I guess.
Well, I mean, do you think there's something too, like the whole Tennessee's running out of spots, and if you really want to come here, you better not wait too long?
I mean, yeah, it seems that way.
Because now, is it Tennessee up to their 23rd commitment of this class? I believe that's the number. They're up to number 23?
Yeah.
Which we know that this is going to work itself out. We know it's going to, you know, the numbers will work. They always do.
You got to know these guys down at the bottom of the recruiting rankings.
They're sweating every time Tennessee gets a new commit.
Guys like Jay Jones and Nate Evans.
I don't see those guys really celebrate Tennessee's momentum. They kind of see the writing on the wall. Maybe they are celebrating it. I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, see, I don't even know who a lot of these guys are. Edwin White?
I saw where, is it Mike Farrell? Is that his name, Mike
Edwin
Farrell?
Edwin White. Yeah, the Rivals guy?
He said that this might be Tennessee's best player in the class.
Well,
that's just what he said. I you know, obviously, I don't know. And you had some guys who are higher ranked than him, but he said this might be the crown jewel of the class when it's all said and done.
Yeah, well, yeah. Who knows? What? I mean, yeah.
I'm watching. I'm on his profile right now, and they're firing off Cayman. his highlight reel, and he just looks really thick. I don't know what.
With two position. C's or just one?
No, I wouldn't go two C's. Just one C.
One C.
But he's making some really good over the shoulder catches. So he's listed as an athlete. I don't know where he's going to play at Tennessee. I don't think we know yet. His highlight film so far is all offense.
Says he's an athlete.
Right. Right. I believe was it on Rivals he was ranked as the fifth best athlete in the country? Is that correct or?
I'm looking at, I don't know, I usually go by 247, but.
Or no, that's his composite score. His composite has him listed as the fifth best athlete in the country. You didn't beat out a lot of SEC schools here. It seemed as if you kind of going the ACC route again. It seems like Tennessee's been doing that. When you go into the Carolinas, you kind of have to deal with the ACC as well.
Which shouldn't be too hard to beat out other than Clemson.
North Carolina's recruiting pretty well right now. But, I mean, Tennessee should be able to beat North Carolina.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, you shouldn't have to fight the – I'm not scared of the North Carolina state schools, you know?
Yeah, it's basically just Clemson, right, that you're scared of in the ACC. Like Tennessee, yeah. I mean, in another day, in another year, you might be scared of Florida State, but
not really
recently
right
Tennessee's
now.
Been dominating Florida State recruiting battles.
Unless like, the kid's based out of Florida, nope, maybe, and he's got a
– Morvin Joseph was based out of Florida, and he still looked at Florida State and said, no thanks, I'm coming to Tennessee.
Yeah. I'm just saying that might make it more of a competition. Like
I was going to say Tennessee's had good luck going down there and getting Florida guys from
Florida
State. Like
well,
you look at Kamara Wilcoxon and Morvin Joseph. Like we've gone down there
IMG
and gotten
ties,
some. Yep, we've gone down there and gotten some big guys lately.
Got the IMG guy. And I just, in 2020, I mean, Tennessee right now, safe to say, in better shape than Florida State.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
I think we're in a lot better shape right now. You know, that could change, but.
We'll continue the conversation on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Bit of breaking news out of East Carolina as ECU eliminates men's and women's tennis, men's swimming and diving, and women's swimming and diving. So you see some more number crunching from programs across the country.
What are they going to do with the pool?
Fill it up and make it a parking lot.
That's about the most American thing you've ever said.
Always need parking lots.
Yeah. That is always a problem on college campuses. I guess they might as well just fill in the pool and paint down some white stripes, you know?
Yep.
They probably make it a staff lot. There's always plenty of staff parking on these campuses. That never seems to be a problem at all, you know?
This new commitment for Tennessee, Kameen Marley, is an athlete. Plays wide receiver, running back, and safety in high school, and punts. He's a punter. He's one of those guys when you watch his highlight film, and I don't usually do this, for prospects just because I don't think you can get much out of it. It just happens to be playing as I'm reading about him. But he's just bigger than everybody on the field. Like, you watch his games, and you can tell, this one's the one that's supposed to be a Division I athlete. Much bigger than everybody.
Yeah, you can usually tell that by the high school highlight tapes. Like, the guys that are going to be D1 college players typically stand out on the field. I will always remember that when I watch T. Higgins play. Like, you can just tell that guy is a future draft pick.
Sure.
compared to all the other, the just regular kids playing ball.
I don't think this guy's going to scream, like, future draft pick. I don't, whenever they do the projection, he's projected. The way they see him maxing out now is like a fourth or seventh round pick. So, I mean, like, he might end up being a late day pick. Whereas, T. Higgins, you knew had first round talent. Like,
well, some guys are just supreme athletes. Like,
right.
When you see them,
they're better. I'm just saying, I can imagine watching T. Higgins was vastly different, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's pretty cool, actually.
You just saw that and said, yeah, if this guy doesn't get hurt, he is going to make millions in the NFL. And you could tell that from an early age.
And he ended up being, well, he wasn't a first-round draft pick, I guess, technically, but.
No, he's still making millions, though.
Second round, and he.
First round, was he the first pick of the second round?
Yeah, because.
Cincinnati?
And had the receiver class not been so deep, you know, he.
Right.
He's a first-round talent.
Any other year, he would have been a first-round talent, but the wide receiver's just too good.
Yeah. But when you see a guy like that, you can tell, like, they're going to be special, or at least adequate at the college level, you know. And then there's this kind of the same thing when you see an NFL team, you know?
What do you mean?
Like when you see you see a special guy in college and you can tell that guy's going to be in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's just levels to it.
I would say if you watch a lot of SEC football, you can kind of see most of those guys blend in. But every now and then, there is somebody that jumps off the page. Like
I mean, Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, Jadeveon Clowney. Like, yeah. The elite of the elite, yeah, they still pop off too, and you're like, okay, yeah, this guy's going to be playing on Sundays.
Big time receivers, guy like Julio Jones.
But then every now and then you'll see a Sean Oakman, and you're like, oh man, this guy's going to be awesome, and then he ends
up not
ever really being.
He was just kind of built,
but he did ride that one viral picture to like being a first round mock pick the next year, and then he got in legal trouble, and you know, he just hasn't really done anything. But for this. This guy's from North Carolina, 5 hours away, so when he drove to campus, I guess it wasn't that big of a drive. Just get out and hit the road and make your decision. Spots are filling up. Tennessee, when I tell you he beats, the schools listed that he beats, you know, in the write-up they'll always say like who basically finished second and third. North Carolina and Kentucky.
Okay.
Probably doesn't get you too excited.
Not unless he's a basketball recruit.
It does seem like this guy's star rating is better than his offer list. At least his legit offer list.
So not a lot of SEC powerhouses there?
I mean, I don't know. It just depends. Like his activity has been so weird in terms of what he's been doing and who he's been talking to and, you know, the visits kind of – you don't really get an idea of where he's been – at recently. Like if you look at his timeline, you know how they track his visits and offers and things like that. Like he hadn't visited anywhere since September 28th apparently, and that was when he unofficially went to North Carolina. Like that's where they've written. Now it does have an offer. It listed May 17th of 2019, so a year ago, from Ohio State.
And he's got one from Penn State and Florida. I mean,
Texas A&M. Now a lot of that stuff came in 2018, 2019, so The 2020 calendar just pretty much just Tennessee and Georgia Tech and Wisconsin and Penn State in December. So, you know, I don't know what to make of this guy.
Well, you know, pandemic and all.
The ratings say he's a beast. Like I said, the number five athlete. It's more just Tennessee was able to pull this guy kind of out of nowhere. Because yesterday was whenever they did the new rankings, Tennessee had some commitments kind of fall in the class, right? We had a guy lose his fifth star, so people were a little mad about that.
Maybe he just really enjoyed his drive through the mountains, you know? For him to come from North Carolina, you got to take, I'm assuming he took I-40 through Asheville and then, you know, over to Knoxville, and that's a winding road through the mountains. Maybe he's a big geographical mountain guy.
Yeah, on 247 Tennessee, Dylan Brooks lost his fifth star, the defensive end down.
Oh, no.
At Alabama, yeah. Only one five-star now, Cody.
Oh, no. Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
Yeah, still a 98 overall. I think I'll take it. Still number one at his position.
Just lost his fifth star. Some people were upset about that.
Maybe he had to lose a star so somebody else could gain one.
Well, that's probably what happened. Yeah, I mean, somebody probably got that fifth star.
Maybe we'll land that guy next. I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule out anything with this class.
On the ratings, I guess this guy comes in as your fifth best prospect in terms of the national rankings.
Yeah.
A blue chipper, a top 150 guy. It's just nice of Tennessee to, They're stuck at number two right now. There's no chance of catching Ohio State. And eventually they're going to get passed by Clemson. Like, Clemson's right on their heels with a lot more open spots. So Tennessee's recruiting class will start shaking out a certain way if they're going to continue up with elite prospects, right? Like, there are guys you look at and you're like, okay, you're not going to make it here, or we don't want you here at least.
Yeah, but you might start dropping three stars and adding four stars, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know for sure that Clemson will pass us.
Oh, well,
chances are they will.
I feel pretty confident that they will, which is fine.
I mean, just because we have so many three-star commits, though, like if we process half of those and land seven more four-stars, I mean, there's still a lot of time left.
I still think Clemson would pass us if we land seven more four-stars.
You think if we land seven more four-stars, Clemson will have a better class than us at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Maybe because it's Clemson, but...
Like, I mean, again, it's not fair for Tennessee to be recruiting against Clemson and Ohio State right now. Like, my focus as a Tennessee supporter is beat Florida in recruiting.
Well, just to be in that same breath is pretty nice.
I mean, we are. And look, I urge people, celebrate, do whatever you want, but don't get married to the idea of having a top three class. Like, I think that's going to set yourself up for disappointment. And, like, it's cool to post how Tennessee's got the top five recruiters in the SEC. They also got 23 commits. Like, celebrate that stuff, I understand, but just, like, you have to continue to finish strong, trust the process, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's a whole second half here. We're basically only at halftime of the recruiting cycle.
Like,
so.
If you're asking me to bet right now, yes, Clemson passes Tennessee. Georgia passes Tennessee.
Georgia?
Yeah. That surprise you, the idea that Georgia will pass Tennessee? I mean, right now...
I mean, they got seven commitments right now.
Yeah, right now they're hovering down at 20.
I don't know for sure Georgia will pass us. I would argue that our early momentum is going to land us some more blue chip players. Like, if that Amarius Mims guy comes here and we end up landing, I mean, because if I'm like a four star player around the country right now, you got to notice what Tennessee's doing.
Sure. And I'm not saying that North Carolina's finishing ahead of Tennessee. I'm saying that Georgia is.
I'll say no.
Board?
I'll say Georgia's not.
Board?
Yeah.
Board.
Board it. Georgia will not finish with a better recruiting class.
We go in just off the 247 composite team rankings. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
We both agree that, you know, that's kind of the one we default to.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, board that. Georgia finishes ahead of Tennessee recruiting.
Gotcha down.
Not going to happen, buddy.
I mean, I hope it doesn't.
Times are changing.
I don't want to be right about this, but I'm just like trying. I mean, I think that there's no shame in losing out in recruiting to Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. Like, that's going to be, you're going to have to do more on the field before you beat those guys.
Well, you got to beat them on the field.
Right.
But I don't think that means we can't beat them on the recruiting trail.
I would be surprised. I would be shocked if we finish ahead of Georgia.
I don't think I would. Is it any different than being ahead of Florida?
Yes.
I mean, Florida's already got 8 four-star commitments.
Yes, but Dan Mullen has proven to not be the type of recruiter that Kirby Smart is.
Well, Kirby has a lot more recruiting resources. They have a great budget.
They have a less competitive state. Like, I'm not going to say it's a better state. Florida's a better state, but I feel like Georgia has a better stranglehold of Georgia than Florida does of Florida.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think we're going to finish ahead of both of them.
I think we're going to finish ahead of Florida.
I think we're going to start processing out these three stars, and we're going to start landing more and more four stars.
I hope you are right.
We are too hot to just let this fade in the month of June.
All I'm simply saying is we have 23 commits right now with an average of 89.84, and Georgia is hovering down there at a 94.5 average rating. And once they start taking more bodies, yeah, I imagine.
That's because of all the three stars. I mean, the guys.
I mean, how many three stars do you think you're going to process? You can't process all 13 of them.
No, but you can process a few.
How many?
You'll process 13 of them if you have 13 guys better than them that want to sign with you. process well, yes. every single one of them.
I mean, that theoretically, yes, but how many realistically do you think?
Well, I don't know, but that 89 average is like that is counting all those three-star guys that we landed a long time ago.
I understand. You
know, like the average is higher over since April, whatever that date is. April
I understand.
26th or since we started landing all these recruits. It's above 90. I don't know exactly where it's at, but
you sound like you feel strongly about this.
I feel good about I just think that momentum in recruiting is big, and I think we got guys that are recruiting for us who are committed, like that Kamar Wilcoxon guy.
Sure.
I think they've got good relations with those guys like Mims, and you land a guy like Mims, then I think you can land anybody. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we're definitely going to see some processing.
I think right now, if people were betting, they're betting on Georgia landing Mims, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I'm just like, that's what all signs point to in terms of who's leading and who's going there.
That's what the so-called experts think.
Mm-hmm.
What'd they think about Kamen Marley? Did they think he was going to come here last night?
No, but they thought he was coming to Tennessee.
Not out of nowhere.
No, not out of nowhere.
Those guys, they don't know.
You are a recruiting expert.
I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm saying
I trust
I'm saying
them to know more than you do.
I don't. It's foolish you heard to
of,
think
the first
that
time you heard of Mims was 3 weeks ago.
That's not true. I heard of him like at least 5 weeks ago. It's not to me. It's foolish to try and guess where guys who are 17 or 18 are going to go. You don't think they're watching Coach Duggs and Big Cat streaming Tennessee right now?
I don't know if they are or not.
I think a lot of them are. I think Tennessee's hot right now.
You think high school prospects care about that? Like, I think they like I said, I think putting the Power T out in front of anywhere is better for the brand, and it makes Tennessee a hotter brand. I don't know how much those guys like Barstool. I don't know.
Our brand is hotter right now than Georgia's.
I don't disagree.
Georgia's had more success on the field. I'll give you that.
I don't necessarily agree. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm trying to be realistic about it. I mean,
I am, too. I'm being very realistic. I'm not a homer. I'm negative a lot of times.
That's not true. You're usually...
I'm very negative.
No, you are eternally optimistic, and then you get very upset when you're let down. Then you turn very negative, but you want to be positive.
No, that's how it happens. I don't think
that's how it happens. When you're disappointed...
I don't think that's how it works.
When you're disappointed, you jump ship, and you get really mad because you've been let down, but you want to be optimistic.
No. That's not me.
Okay. I feel like it's you. Cam, where are you at on this? You think Tennessee is going to be able to hold off? Because, I mean, to me, like I said, if you're in the top five, you're in the top six, and you're second in the SEC East, I think that's an accomplishment this go-round. That to me, is the goal. Like, screenshotting that you're the second best recruited class in the country right now, it seems like you're setting yourself up for failure. I'm excited about, you know, the handful of blue chips we have. I'm excited about the guys we're getting. I just think it's unrealistic to expect to beat Georgia this cycle. Where do you sit on this?
Yeah, I don't think we're quite to where we've gotten over that hump yet.
Beating Florida is my goal here. Like, continue to out-recruit Florida, and eventually you will pass them on the field. Like, that's just how it's going to work, that you will be able to do that. We have confidence in this coaching staff being able to play SEC football. You'll pass Florida in the field if you are recruiting higher than them. That's the same way that Florida stayed ahead of you because they were ahead of you in recruiting. Like, it's the same concept.
Yeah, but you kind of touched on it. Kirby Smart's been really good at recruiting. And the state's just full of talent, too. So, like,
yeah, but the trends are going different ways. Like, I guarantee you the guys who are recruiting against Georgia are telling the recruits that, you know? Like, hey, they had their opportunity. That's what the whole narrative is around Georgia right now. What does everybody always say about Georgia in the last 6 months? They're window closed. Window closed. You always hear that term, window closed. I guarantee you the coaches recruiting against Georgia are pitching that.
Sure.
We haven't had our moment to break through yet. We're on the rise. We're about to bust open the door.
And I'm sure Georgia coaches are saying we won the SEC East three times in a row, and we've done this, we've done that, and no, the window's not closed. We are the new Alabama. It took Nick Saban a couple years before he won a championship.
They're
there.
Trying
we're
to deny
to
that.
That as well.
Yeah, but the media controls a lot, and the media narrative is that they're window closed.
Well, I mean, I think are national people saying that, or is that just kind of us? Like, who is?
I think a lot of people are saying that. Definitely.
I mean, I think people are saying that their window of like dominating the East is over, but I haven't seen very many national people or SEC regional people with a legit voice saying that like Georgia's falling apart. I've seen that like, hey, yes, like Tennessee and Florida are going to close some gap and it's going to be more competitive, but in terms of Georgia not being at the top of the SEC East, I haven't seen many people pontificating that.
I think you can look at Kirby and say, hey, guy's an underachiever. Guy's an underachiever.
Guy's got a really stupid haircut.
But look at us. Hey, we're on the rise.
We don't have hair.
We got the nation's second longest win streak in the Power Five.
Yes, among Power
Five. You're going to be really disappointed when your dogs don't have a better recruiting class than my Vols.
No, I'm not. I will be thrilled and ecstatic. I'm just also trying to be realistic about it.
I'm being realistic.
You're setting yourself up to be disappointed when Tennessee has the sixth-rated recruiting class in the country.
I won't be disappointed with the sixth
and like the third-rated recruiting class in the SEC.
You think I'm going to be recruited with that class if we finish number six?
If you're expecting to be ahead of Georgia and finish in the top three, yes, I think you will
be
disappointed.
I'm not going to be disappointed in that.
You're going to look around and say, number seven, is that actually good?
That's not what I would say.
You're number four in the SEC. Is that really anything to brag about?
No, that's not what I'm going to say. If we were number eight in the SEC, I might say that. But if we finish with the number six class overall and we're just behind Georgia and Florida, because if you're just behind them, you're not really behind them. Like, what's the difference?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be behind Florida. Like, to me, that's my expectation, is we finish ahead of Florida.
Yeah, like, but if Florida finishes fourth and we finish sixth, I mean, what's the difference?
I would be upset with that, though, because that's supposed to be our advantage and that's supposed to be Dan Mullen's weakness. Like, I understand he's at Florida, but we should be out recruiting him.
But if the classes are similar, like, what's the difference? You know, like, if they have 12 4-stars and 2 5-stars and we have 11 4-stars and 1 5-star, is that a big difference?
Again, probably not, but I would be disappointed because we should be recruiting better than Dan Mullen.
I mean, Mullen's not known as a great recruiter.
I know he's at Florida, but it's Dan Mullen. He's not a great recruiter.
It is the state of Florida.
And you talk about, like, trending downward, like, Florida's had two rough off seasons. You know, they're in the middle of another one.
Well, if you just look at since Pruitt and Mullen got to those respective schools, it has gone this way. Like, Pruitt has closed the gap.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I think
if you want to keep with the trend, we should have a better class.
That's my point, is I want to continue to pass Florida. And, again, it might take another year before we catch them on the field. But, like, if you keep recruiting better than them, that will eventually happen.
Yeah, I just don't think – I mean, I'm not going to be disappointed if we end up with the number six class.
I will be disappointed if we finish behind Florida.
I won't if it's close. Like, if Florida suddenly just starts dominating on the recruiting trail, that would be alarming.
They have three guys in their class that are unranked right now.
Yeah.
That just have no ranking.
Yeah, maybe they just fit Dan's system. That's what he did at Mississippi State.
I guess one of them got ranked now, so they have two guys left unranked. Just give me a top six class. The rich are going to get richer. That's just how it's going to go. I don't think you're going to catch Ohio State. I think you're going to get passed by Clemson. You're going to get passed by Georgia. Probably Alabama as well.
Well, Alabama better get started if they're going to pass us.
I mean, that's 100% accurate. Like, they are laying in the weeds right now. They are taking the Seabiscuit approach of just laying back and going to try to sprint ahead at the end. But they are just not really recruiting right now, which is strange to see.
They're 46.
They're all the way down at 46 with only 5 commits, and one of them's a 3-star, which seems weird that Alabama would have a 3-star on board at this point. But, maybe Alabama doesn't search. Who knows? Maybe the word will be out that Saban winding down. All of Saban's ace recruiters are gone.
They got two pretty big-time receivers, though.
Tennessee has, Tennessee can boast a lot of Alabama success right now on their staff with some of the guys we have here.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we recruited those guys. Hey, we developed those guys. We're able to sell the vision of Alabama and Georgia to an extent. Hell, even Kentucky, I guess, with our defensive line coach. Kentucky's best NFL prospects were recruited by him, right? The Bloom Bug guy or whatever?
Yeah. Maybe it's over for Bama.
Maybe.
It would be nice.
It would be.
I doubt it is, but it would be nice.
It's possible. Okay, stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Precision Lawn Services.
Talk sports rolling along on your Thursday afternoon. Cam, we had some NASCAR last night.
Oh, yes, we did. We did.
So there was a little bit of drama. Chase Elliott, and looks like there's already some shirts being made out there.
Oh, yeah, I saw the shirts. The shirts
Chase Elliott
good.
Flipping the bird to, was it to Kyle Busch?
Yeah, he was mad. Kyle Busch, it was late in the race, and, I mean, Kyle Busch, like, clearly... Like, if it looked like he was trying to kind of merge in between Chase Elliott and I can't remember who was right behind Chase Elliott. But, you know, usually if they miss by a few inches. Kyle Busch missed by like a foot or two. It basically like pit maneuvered him.
So they were racing at Darlington again.
Yeah.
And Kyle Busch wrecked Chase Elliott late in the race. Classic NASCAR.
Classic.
Guys are battling it out. Competition's heated.
Yep.
One guy wrecks another guy. They get in a little scuffle. They didn't actually get in a scuffle, though, did they?
No.
He pretty much just flipped him off.
I didn't see any of that. But
is that an FCC violation for, like, TV to throw up the middle finger?
Ooh, it could be.
I don't know if it's...
Maybe because of how late it was on TV. Maybe not.
Probably not. Probably not.
But, yeah. Yeah, he was not happy, but I don't blame him. I mean, Kyle clearly took him out. So, yeah, it led to some drama down the end of the race. You know, they had some, like, basically ended the race on a caution because they were in caution when the rain came back.
That's the worst way to end those races, just so anticlimactic. Just,
yeah.
This guy wins under
Worked
caution.
For me, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
so
saw
you,
me
you
tweet
picked
it out.
The guy?
Yeah, I tweeted out that I had Denny Hamlin winning that race, and Denny Hamlin won the race. So we're back on track over here.
That's all you do is pick winners.
Back on track.
Pretty much. NASCAR said that Chase Elliott will not be fined for the gesture.
Okay, good.
And or for not going straight to the ambulance. So that's like another policy NASCAR has, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like you got, if you're in a wreck, you got to go straight to the ambulance.
Yeah, he did just kind of hop out his car.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was mad. Oh, man. Yeah, he was a... Did you see the video of Kyle Busch taking him out?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
yeah.
It wasn't close.
No, I mean, it looked like he wrecked him, you know. Maybe they've got some beef in the past. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was good to have a little sports drama last night, albeit NASCAR. You know, we did have some live action. Did you actually watch any of the race? I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't see it live.
I actually saw the wreck while I was watching it. So I was like, oh, man, because I think Denny Hamlin was up with like 30 laps left or something.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott are literally just right behind him trying to, you know, make a move to take it over. And Kyle Busch missed on his move, and then he ends up taking out Elliott. And I think that was the caution. It kind of just like sent it into the...
I mean, Kyle Busch came, like, right up the track. Like,
yeah.
It looked very intentional.
Oh, absolutely.
But he said, the way he put it, there's no question I made a mistake. He said he's got too many friends on Chase Elliott's team to have caused him to wreck on purpose. I don't know. Kyle Busch is such a Kyle. Like,
yeah.
He's just such a Kyle. I don't know. I think in terms of just, like, sports figures, I mean, I guess you consider NASCAR drivers sports figures. Rank them in there however you want to. But to me, he's always had one of the most punchable faces in all of sports.
Oh, for sure.
Like, he's right up there for me all time.
Classic
with like
Kyle face.
He's right up there with, like, Marshall Henderson, AJ McCarron in terms of guys that I hate. Just sports figures that you hate, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
Can't stand Kyle Busch.
There's some conspiracy that, you know, him and Hamlin are teammates. So someone was like, oh, he wrecked Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
Give, you know, just him and Hamlin a better chance of one of them getting the win.
Did Chase Elliott have, like, a really fast car or something?
I mean, he was in second place at the time.
Yeah, so I guess he had to be doing pretty good.
Yeah, and I think he had better tires than Hamlin, if I remember correctly. So he had definitely had a shot to, you know, be in the race. He was going to have a shot to win it, or, you know, even a top five finish. But Kyle Busch kind of ruined that for him. And yeah, it kind of sent it into a caution. But, you know, it just the rain came back and they decided to just call the race.
Yeah, when it rains like that, it really sucks. I mean, to watch NASCAR. But I guess we got the big one coming up on Sunday. If you're into NASCAR at all, the old World 600, the 600 miler at Charlotte. It is Memorial Day weekend. I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that too.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend. It's always a big racing weekend because you got like Monaco early in the morning, then you have the Indianapolis race, and then the Coke 600 or World 600, whatever they call it now.
Yeah, but we're going to Charlotte for that. So yeah, that will be that'll be a good race.
Are they doing the Indy 500?
I don't know. That's what I'm. Let me see if they're running the
other. I know they're not doing fans or anything, but Cam, congratulations on your picks. It's a shame that we didn't put them on the air. Shout out to you for tweeting them out, and congratulations.
Yeah, trying to get back on track. We're two races back from the pandemic, already back on track.
I think they're running the Indy 500 in August.
Okay. Yeah, hoping to have fans maybe, but.
But Monaco, the Grand Prix at Monaco, it says it's canceled.
Okay.
I always like Monaco personally more than the Indy 500.
Good edition of Turning Left, Cam. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Volunteer Vodka is a homegrown.
Level of interest in the foursome golf match on Sunday. Tiger, Phil,
there's a lot
Peyton,
more.
Brady.
Level of interest was pretty high there before you mentioned golf.
Yeah. So
I thought you had something lined up for this weekend.
You would not be invited.
Oh.
Well, you wouldn't be invited.
That's not very nice.
No offense.
You wouldn't invite me to your foursome? Who would you want to team up with besides me?
I can think of
partners. We're partners.
We are. I see enough of you.
It's fine if
I see enough of you as it is.
You just don't make eye contact. You can't just say, I'd take three girls. You can't do that.
I never. What's your level of interest, of excitement in Peyton, Brady, Phil, and Tiger?
Are they doing it on Memorial Day? Or is
They're
it
doing
gonna
it on Sunday.
On Sunday. Okay. I'll watch. Will I watch? I think I'll watch. I don't know.
You got a thing?
I kind of got a thing this weekend. The Twin Peaks waitress hit me up to go see her again. So,
big tipper.
Yeah. It's more than that, though.
You guys take pictures.
We know
together.
Each. No, yeah. No, it's not like that.
I'm
I
sure.
actually know her.
I've
told you about the Twin Peaks waitress.
You
before.
Sit there long enough, you
I
guys become friends,
her.
And you know her.
I actually know her.
You tip 25% each time on the check, you become friends.
I'm not that guy.
I feel like if you say, Twin Peaks girl hit me up, I need to go see her.
But she gave me her number, and we talk a little bit.
We've
hung out. Like it's
you've hung out.
You've hung out. It's not just
outside
one of those things.
Outside of Twin Peaks, you've hung out outside of Twin Peaks.
It's not just one of those things.
Yes or
like,
no?
Come see me at my
yes
job.
Yes or no? Have you
come,
hung out with her?
Me.
Have you hung out with her outside
yes,
the restaurant?
Yes.
You are lying.
I am not.
I'm not lying at all. No.
No.
I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth.
I am not that guy.
Have you hung out with her outside the
yes.
restaurant?
Yes.
No, you haven't.
Yes. Of course I have.
Yeah.
Her OnlyFans doesn't count.
What is it in my tone that makes you think I'm lying? I don't get it.
I don't think you could say you don't.
Okay. Okay. We haven't hung out, but. She did give me her number, and we had a good relationship starting out because we were like her first ever table. So we got her before all the old creepy guys started saying, hey, honey, you want to pull your mask down a little bit so I can see your pretty smile? We got her before all that and actually built a decent relationship. So it's twice we've gone to Twin Peaks. I'm not going alone, by the way, so that makes this a little better. It's twice we've gone into Twin Peaks. We get her. She comes and talks to us. She talks to our table more than she talks to any of the other tables. Way more. to the point where her boss is almost like trying to get her to go serve the other people because she can't get away from us.
It's almost bumming me out how happy this makes you. Like the pride in your voice of that Twin Peaks waitress will spend more time talking to your table.
Do you think that's...
Yes, I 100% think it's serious.
We're doing a radio show here. I don't know if you've ever heard of embellishment.
I 100% believe
it. I know you want to make the audience believe that my life is so sad that I have
I'm not trying to make the audience believe anything.
Well, you know what? When I end up going out with the Twin Peaks waitress...
I don't think that's an accomplishment.
Oh, really?
I don't think that's something to write home about.
Most of them are pretty. Most of them are very, very attractive.
You just care about looks?
I mean, I'm not looking for a wife. I just like to have a little fun, you know?
So that's your Memorial Day plans? Are they going to dress up like in red, white, and blue bikinis as they serve you your ice cold beer?
I haven't asked her.
What's the theme? Are they going to? Can you do a theme for Memorial Day? I feel like Memorial Day. It's kind of sad. It's really sad, actually, what's happened to Memorial Day, where we don't honor the fallen troops. We just use it as a way to go to the lake and wear red, white, and blue bikinis, and we don't care about the fallen troops. We're just going to go sit at Twin Peaks and try to get busty girls to give us some ice cold beer.
Welcome to America.
Yeah,
that's what. That's. I mean, we have those freedoms because of the. Uh-huh. That's kind of the point, isn't it?
No,
because of our heroes and what they sacrificed for them for us.
I don't think the way to honor them is to go.
Well, what are you supposed to go do? Go to a military cemetery and just sit there all day?
Deliver food to people, do service, do things like that.
I think the point in having a good time,
community service that
day. I think our servicemen and women would tell you.
Not use it as an excuse just to get drunk and sit there and do whatever you want and wrap yourself in the flag and chant USA, USA.
I don't do that.
Nah.
I'm not that guy.
Nah.
I think our servicemen and women would tell you that's what I fought for. I fought for the freedom so that Americans could have their freedoms. That's the whole point in it, is it not?
You
have the freedom to go to the lake because we don't live in a communist country, you know? You can go to the lake and get on your speedboat and get a little hammered maybe and hope to not get a boating under the influence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's freedom.
It's America.
Yeah, that's freedom. That's what they fought for, yeah.
And actually, I probably will go to the lake on Monday, so...
Well, be careful.
We might go
last
to Twin Peaks
you, last
on
time
Sunday.
You went to the lake on Memorial Day, you came back with a big scar on your face.
Well, I got hit with a whiskey bottle. It was a whole...
Yeah, be careful.
I was bleeding.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. We got some big news about NFL quarterback and his contract negotiations. And I do want to dive in. We wanted to dive into the Horace Grant stuff, but now we got Scottie Pippen weighing in too, and he's also upset at Michael Jordan. We'll dive into that. We got this or that coming up probably in hour three. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Are you ready?